You may be seated. Good morning. Appreciate you being here. I know many are gone. We've have some of our own ranks gone, as you see in the band, but we're just, I love the fact that worship's not about us. It truly isn't. It's about focusing on Him. Well, I got to admit, just for one person, because we have one Dodger fan in our whole church. Just one. So, Dolores, congratulations back there. You know, I know. Yeah, only one of you are clapping. See what I said? Okay. One Dodger fan for all of that. She's got her Dodger earrings on and her Dodger necklace on, and Mike's in heaven cheering on the Dodgers, though I don't think God's a Dodger fan. So, sorry about that. Get in trouble, huh? We have been looking at the issue of prayer. We've looked at prayer as the easiest and hardest work, have we not? It's so easy to do and yet so hard to get done. And the issue, as we've looked at, is out of 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which is just tough. It says pray continually. Just pray continually. Some versions say pray without ceasing. And we understand that admonition given to us to pray is a priority statement, that we should be people of prayer. We have looked at the issue of praying specifically, that we need to pray specifically. This last week in a couple small ways, very, very, for insignificant, most people would say, there have been some of you who have prayed specifically for things. Specifically, from the menial to the big. And yet in some of those ways, even in some of those menial ways, we've seen answers to those prayers, specific prayers. Our Monday nights when our guys come to pray, man, I love our Monday nights. Encourage you guys, if you're free, on 5:30 on Mondays, we come, our prayer, our warrior work, we pray specifically. We pray for every card that comes in here. Every prayer request that comes in, we pray for it. We pray specifically. And I think there's a point when we don't just say, God bless grandma, God bless grandpa. Those are great things. But we need to be able to pray specifically. Why? So that we can measure how God is. Because when we pray just generally, sometimes we miss the answers to those prayers that God's answered. And so as we pray specifically, we pray and say, God, it also becomes measurable where we can see that God is doing something. We said last week, we talked about praying persistently. Don't give up. That we pray persistently. That it's not just, remember we looked at the fact that Daniel, that God heard Daniel's plea. God hears your heart. God hears the things of your heart until from the very first time through all of them. And just because we can't see God working doesn't mean that He isn't working. That behind the scenes, God is like pulling the curtain back from the great, you know, from the great stage production. When we can pull those curtains back and see what's going on behind the scenes, that's what God is often doing in our own lives. We may not see it, but behind the scenes, all the things that God is doing. We talked about push. That you need to push, push, push. Whether there's things in your life that are discouraging, depressing, addictions, whatever it may be, or that you're saying, God, we need you to see your work in this area. Push. And what did that mean? To pray until something happens. Don't give up. Don't stop. Yes, God hears. Yes, God knows. But it also gives us the ability to push and say, God, I want to know. I want you to know I'm not. It's constantly on my heart. It will be on my mind. And today I want to look at praying personally. Praying personally. If you want to know the truth, which I would, it's not that it's not the truth, it's just that I wasn't going to share all this. I changed this message at 3 o'clock this morning. The message that you were going to get was quite boring. This may be too, for all I know. It was a deep theological message. I mean, it was really theological. Some of you guys who are those people who just think it needs to be deep, deep, and we're going to look at the Hebrew, Greek, Latin, Spanish, German, everything about how it's written. But I thought as more and more I prayed about it, talked with some yesterday about it, I just wasn't sure. It just wasn't sure that it rang in my heart that that's what we needed. So I don't think we need to know more theology about prayer. I think we just need to do it. And I was falling trapped to my own exercise of let's get more deep about prayer, when I think really it's not about that, because the more we get deep about prayer, the more we think, well, I don't know what to say, and I don't know how to say it. And God doesn't say, I mean, God was pretty simple when he says, pray continually. There were no clarifiers of that, were there? There were no quantifiers on that. He said, pray. Talk to him. Speak to him. Communicate. Dialogue. And so today, this morning, as I wrestled with it the week, and then this morning I finally said, God, there's another direction going. I want to look at some things here, and I think they are current to today. And for some of you, it may make you uncomfortable. It may make you angry. It won't be the first time that I've made people angry. It won't be the last. But I want us to look at praying personally. And it starts with praying for yourself. Praying for yourself. In warrior work, we've looked at concentric circles of our prayer life. Who do we pray for? I'm not talking about praying selfishly. But I know me. I know me better than you know me. Some of you don't understand that yet. But I know me better than you do. I know where I need God to work in my life. I know the failures of my life. I know those things. And so when I come to God, I pray for myself. God, these areas, these things, these issues of my life, my anxiety over this, or my anger over this, or whatever it may be. But I think we need to pray for our own attitudes. And I think when we start praying, it's easy at times. And I find this to be true. Oh, it's easy to ask God for the things we want. Isn't it? It's really easy. It's easy. God, I want that. Please give it to me. Help me win that trillion, billion-dollar, mega mountain thing or whatever it is going on out there. You know, I won't even ask how much money was wasted by you guys. And I got to get in because you got to be in it to win it. I've had so many people tell me that this week. I saved my buck and I bought a cup of coffee this morning. I mean, you know, I got more out of it than you're going to get out of it. That's all there is I got to say about that. That's all I'm going to say about that. anyway, but we need to pray for ourselves. God, correct my attitude, correct my heart, give me the right perspective. Man, when you're struggling in loss and in grief, you pray, God, help my heart to heal. Bind the wounds. That we pray for ourselves. And I think it's important to do so. So I don't want you to, when he says the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, right? To love your neighbor, right? We pray for our neighbor, but he also says to love yourself. If you don't love yourself the way God does, not the way the world says to do it, but if you can't love yourself by knowing who you are in Christ, by you are who he says you are, then your neighbor is in big trouble. If you cannot love yourself that way. And so we pray that God would give us the right. Do I pray for myself? Yes, I do. God, help me to respond correctly. God, help me to see correctly. God, give me perspective. Do you just flat out stop and say, God, work in my heart. Let your spirit within me make me sensitive to you. Do you pray that? I think we ought to. But I also think we must pray for our government leaders. No options. So hang on. Pucker up, buttercup, because it's coming. All right? 2 Timothy 2:1-2. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, everybody, but for kings and all of those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Romans 13:1. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Proverbs 21:1. I love this verse. In the Lord's hand, visualize this. In the Lord's hand, the king's heart, the president's heart, the mayor's heart, the city councilman's heart, whoever it is, in the Lord's hand, the king's heart, is a stream of water that he channels wherever he wants to go, wherever it pleases the Lord. Years ago, I had to claim this verse in my life. When there was a situation, I said, God, I can't control that situation. And I was a teenager. I said, God, but this verse was given to me. The king's heart is in the hands of the Lord, And like the rivers of water, that's King James Version, he directs it to wherever he goes. And we need to realize that our government leaders are established by God, and our option is to pray for them. Now let me just tell you, Christians, if you are a Christian today, you are not to be involved in the hateful speech or responses, period. You will disagree. Some of you disagree because I see your posts. I hear your heart. It does not mean that you can't have an opinion about anything. But our response from God is that we pray for those in authority. And if you don't like them, change it at the voting booth. But listen to me. We as Christians have fallen prey to causing division and dissension in the church of God over a government. Do you see that it makes me mad? I hope that's righteous indignation. You are told to pray for your leaders. And I think what he's saying is don't pray that lightning strikes. Do you pray for our leadership, or do you just mouth or pen or text or email hate? You have every right to have a viewpoint. I am not saying that. Paul says, and we have the freedom to do whatever we want to do. Does he not? He says, we've been free. You have the freedom to do that. You want to say, well, Paul says I have the freedom to write whatever I want to write. You can. But he also says, is it necessary? Is it expedient? And does it build up the household of faith? What the world needs to see is believers. You can be involved in the political process. Do not go that way. I think you should be involved in the political process. Absolutely. Every one of you should vote. And if you haven't voted, you have no right to a pen or pencil. Period. You don't vote? Shut up. Are there any kids in here? Dang. Okay? We say that, but you're going to walk out of here and you're going to read that post on Facebook and somebody's going to tick you off and you're going to say, I'm going to... Listen, it doesn't mean that we agree with everything. It doesn't mean that we agree with those who are in control. We will never agree with everything that's in control, ever. But we are to do everything in love. Our speech, our words, our text is to be seen as loving. I can be loving without having agreement. That's the lie of our generation, and some of us have bought it, that if we disagree with somebody, we cannot love them. That's the lie that the world has brought to us, is it not? That I may not agree with you, and so therefore we can't be friends. Or therefore I hate you. I don't agree with your political views, so therefore we can't be one in Christ. And Jesus, Paul says through the Lord, there's neither Greek, barbarian, slave, or free. You talk about a political system, and he's saying, listen, he's talking to Philemon and Onesimus, a slave and a master. You don't think that within that process, God says, no, there's going to be disagreement. But you treat each other with grace. So there's the hard part of this, but let me tell you something else here. I also believe that not only do you pray for your government leaders, I think you should pray for your church leaders. Me, Pastor Mike, Pastor Ben, Glenna, our board, people who are leading even in serving. So I'm going to give you a list. I'm going to give you a list and some of these things, and we'll make some comments on. But as I thought about this, what do I want you to pray for? And some of these are generic for ministry, but some of these are just for me. You often ask, what can we do for you? I'm praying for you. Well, I want to give you some parameters to pray. Last week, I mentioned some of the things that, the only one thing that really caused me anxiety. Some liked that response, some did not. So I'm going to double down. Okay? So as selfish it may be, all of these should be done for a church leader regardless, for our entire staff, for any church. But some of them I'll add to it. You want to pray for me? Pray for focus. Pray for focus. Why? Because we as leaders, as myself, has to keep the main thing, and the message of the grace of Jesus. It is not arguments. It is not vain babble. It is not even theological babble. To get off into theological, why was I not satisfied with a message that I had that I felt like, man, I want to go there, but it just because it's theological, and it just is, in some sense creates nothing that gives life. But you need to pray that I can have focus and stay focused in the midst where everything tries to distract. You need to pray for power. that I need to have power to speak boldly, to speak the word, to have that power, to not to be diminished, that knowing what God's role is. I need to pray for speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth is not usually difficult for most people. Some people have made it an art form. But speaking the truth in love. And I think in love, when we look at that, love is the key, because sometimes if we add those qualifications to it, to speak the truth in love, it may mean that love says, I don't speak at all. Right? You need to pray for me, because many times you all put me in the position that I've got to, speak to you, and you may not like what you're going to hear. And I want to do so in love. I got to do so knowing for power and for boldness and for speaking the truth in love of what the job description is that God has given me. You may think the church or any church gives the pastor a job description. Well, that could be true. But really, it comes from the God himself and through his word. You need to pray for wisdom for me in dealing with situations of our church, of you, of people, of our direction, for wisdom, for direction, staying the course while adapting to society. You understand that we as a church must adapt to society. Not the message adapt to society. The message stays the same, but methods change. Methods change. I realize that we stretch some of you because we use drums, or somebody doesn't like this song or like that song. But listen, the churches that have stayed back in the tradition of just the past are shrinking and are dying. We have to stay to the traditional message of the Lord Jesus, Him crucified, salvation by grace, you bet, the inerrant word of God, without error. We stay to the doctrine of truth within that situation. But the methods by which we reach people will change. Our youth department has to change. All of those kind of things to reach kids. Our music needs to change as we search for a worship leader. I want a young person. I don't want people liking my style of worship. Why? Because I'm old. It's just the way it is. I want to bring in that diversity. I want that diversity between the old, that blended, and the young. So we pray for direction. I need to pray. You need to pray for me for knowing when to leave. Now, some of you are going to say, well, I've already been praying for you to leave. Okay, well, okay. That's really not what I'm talking about, but that would be part of it, to know when God says, God, man, maybe I remove the mantle at grace and you need to go someplace else. But more so than that, I think most ministers don't know when just to leave for a week and get away. Or leave for and take a time off and get away from the phone and away from people and away from all of the things. That sometimes it's easy for me, those of you who know me, to work as I do 7 days a week. It's very easy to do that. And sometimes we all need, just like you, just like people today, are gone, band's gone, they need a break, absolutely. And I need prayer saying, okay, this is time I need to take a break. Why? Because I'm having these issues or whatever. You need to pray for that. You need to pray for the assurance of calling. What are you saying, Pastor Bill? I, at times, even this last week, I remember saying, in my spirit, saying, I know my calling. I know what God has called me to do. It's that power that rises up that says, you know what? I'm not called by you. I am called by God. And the assurance of that calling. Because if I tried to please you, my calling would change every time I turn around. But when I have one calling and one job description, which is given to me for to correct and rebuke and exhort and to encourage and to equip, those are my calling. To preach the message with boldness. And I need to have that assurance at times to remind myself, this is what I need to be doing. You need to pray for that. You need to pray for patience. You say, you need patience? Let me look around the crowd. Absolutely. I need patience. Sometimes, honestly, the pastor wants to invest. And he does invest in people. And we pray for people. And sometimes we see more in that person than they see in themselves. And sometimes we want to see the return on that investment quickly. And sometimes we need patience to say, God, you're in control. I'm just going to wait. You need to pray for love for all people. All people. There's no bias or prejudice. There's just love for all people. You need to pray for encouragement. For encouragement. That I might be an encourager. That Mike might be an encourager. That our staff will be encouraged. But that also pray for encouragement. That you encourage us. You need to pray for me, as I've talked about here, a loss of control. I need to know when to lose control. I don't mean throw a fit control. I mean lose control by saying, I'm not in control here. I can't make certain things happen. I can't keep other things from happening. The issue of the loss of control. Man, that's probably one of the greatest things I got to wrestle with, personally. To know when to step back and say, God, you're in control. I can't change any of you. Some I don't want to. Some I pray hard. But I can't control any of it. You need to pray for me at times. I know it. You need to pray for tough skin. Enough said. Just tough skin. And you'll say, oh, well, you don't need tough skin here because we're all so kind. Some of you have gotten an insight most recently to some of the notes. I'm blessed here at this church. Let me tell you. I have pastor friends from other churches. Oh, Lord. They need praying miracles. I mean, that's what they need to pray. I'm blessed here. I have been blessed here. This is a great body, a great family. I'm not kidding you. It is. I've said that to everybody. I'm blessed. But some people have gotten a window into some of the notes that everybody feels they have a right, R-I-G-H-T, to write, W-R-I-T-E. My life is somewhat lived in a glass house. And so some people feel like at any given time they can write whatever they want to write. Be it personal, be it professional, be it job. And some of you look and say, somebody wrote that? Yeah, here. Now, usually I just say, God, you're doing something. If I get people happy or sad, at least I'm doing something. If you get mad at me, at least you're listening. You know, whatever it may be. If you're blessed and God's challenging you and you walk out the doors different, God's doing something, the Spirit of God. But the reality is, as much as you want to see any pastor anywhere as being tough, we are human. We are human. And rejection's hard. Criticism's hard. And as much as you want to deal with it, you look back and say, okay, God, what can I take from this and what can I not take from this? And lastly, as we pray for the pastor, staff, any church leader, you pray for people of grace. I pray for the people of grace. But I also pray that you'll be people of grace. That as God has extended grace to us, we extend grace to others. Is it possible that as people of grace, we could assume the best and not assume the worst of the person sitting next to us or the people that walk in? We often talk about the fact that when people say, you know, when we see who are they, we answer with what they are instead of who they are, by the things we measure in their life. Now listen to me. This is not a precursor. This is not in any way a factor of me griping. I don't desire that at all. I'm telling you, this is not saying anything negative. I'm telling you, you want to know, I've had people say, how can we pray for you? I'm giving you how you can pray for me. I'm sharing vulnerability here with you about my own life here. But don't walk out of here and miss the point and assume a negative. I want to inform you of how you need to pray for Mike and myself and Glenna and Ben. And we pray, and that we as a church would be people of grace, given to all people, that we would demonstrate God's grace to each other, with me and with everybody. Now, if praying for yourself, praying for government leaders, and praying for church leaders hasn't hit your group, let me give you the last group, okay? What do you think that last group may be? Pray for your enemies. You say, now wait a minute. Wait just a minute. Pray for our enemies? You need to know your enemy today. And the Bible over and over says to pray for our enemies. To know your enemy, you can go to Ephesians and he talks about that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That there is an enemy, and that enemy is Satan himself. That behind the schemes of evil, the devil is real. And he wants to see us demise. He wants to see the issue of our life demise. That we need to know our enemy. We need to know that. We're all enemies. We don't have time. I'm running out of time. But we're going to look at Paul, the Apostle Paul, where he persecuted, didn't he? He persecuted Christians. And when he came to know, he saw every Christian as an enemy. And then as he came to that Damascus Road experience, and as God struck him down, he realized that he was an enemy of the cross. And God made him a citizen of heaven. That's what he says. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's what the Pharisees and religious leaders. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's another one of those verses we usually don't like to hear, right? We look at that and say, no, wait a minute. Proverbs 25, verses 25 and 21. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. He is saying, listen, it's not just more than the golden rule. It's replying that we pray for those who are enemies. We pray for those who persecute us. We pray for those people we don't get along with. We pray. The word really would be, as I looked at it, is can we retaliate? Because we all want revenge, right? All of us say, oh man, where's the cop when that guy's speeding? When that guy cut me off, where's the cop? We want that. We want to protect our rights. But can we retaliate with love? Because that's what these verses are saying. When you are persecuted, when you are brought down, when somebody takes you on, or whatever, we are to retaliate with love. We seek our pound of flesh at times. We all do. We may all have to swallow hard, give up our right, or demand our right. You don't have a right to treat me that way. And boy, it is not normal, a double negative here, it is not normal to not seek revenge. It's very worldly, rightly in the world's view, to say, man, they're going to pay for it. I'm going to make them pay for it. I'm going to help them pay for it. They cheated me. They did me wrong. I'm going to get them. And yet the Bible says, is that we are to pray for them, not to respond in hate. To retaliate with love. To respond in love. What if our retaliation, every time we wanted to get vengeful or respond, we use the word retaliate with love. How can I retaliate? And when you do so, when you do in kindness, you're heaping hot coals upon their head. Say, whoa, you're not responding the way I want you to respond. You're not continuing the argument. You're not continuing the debate. You're not continuing the conflict. You're responding in love. A soft answer turns away wrath. And then it talks about that we are to forgive those and to pray. There's a connection there to forgive and pray. God extended such great love towards us. God has extended such great grace and mercy towards us. Yet the question is, do we extend such great grace and mercy to others? Do we do that? See, this is where prayer becomes, the first 2 weeks, it's easy to pray sacrificially, pray specifically, pray persistently, pray with passion, pray, yes. But when it talks about praying for the people that you don't like, or praying for people, then it comes all of a sudden, it's not so easy, right? You mean, I really got to pray for XX leader, or I got to pray for XX person at work, or XX this, whatever, put, or I got to pray for that person? And I think there's a correlation here. And I think we need to look at our heart. And as we close today, the challenge is for you and for me. Can we look to examine our hearts right now? Does the enemy have a foothold in your attitude, in your heart, in your attitude, and in your actions? Have your words, actions, attitudes damaged others? And if so, you need to realize that with that kind of spirit, you're really only damaging yourself. When he says to forgive and to pray, I think they're hooked. I think they're linked. I don't think if you can't pray for your enemy, if you can't pray for the person, I don't think you have the ability to forgive them. And you say, oh, I've forgiven them, but I'm not going to pray for them? No. Now understand, forgiveness doesn't mean trust. Forgiveness is not a one and done. But we forgive because he first forgave us. We see how much he's forgiven us. And who am I to withhold that forgiveness of others? When there's somebody that you consider just, man, they're an enemy, or they talk bad about you, and you want to respond in kindness, and you want to retaliate with love, and you say, God, I'm going to practice forgiveness, usually it means every time you see them, you say, God, I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive. Every time. It's not one and done. It's saying, God, man, take away the thoughts that I have. Help that person come to know Jesus, or help that person help me in the process to know how I respond in love. See, this is where prayer really hits the road, isn't it? It's easy to talk about that easiest work of praying for people, praying for things, praying for all the things you want. The hardest time is one is doing it, but then praying, God, you really want me to pray for those who persecute me? You want me to pray for the person that I dislike? You want me to love all people? God, you want me to pray for our government? You want me to pray for our pastor? You want me to pray for my enemies? Sometimes that's not as easy. And yet that's where the joy really comes from, is we can sit back and say, God, I'm praying for every area of my life. I'm praying for myself first and foremost. God, correct my heart. Correct my attitude. I'm telling you what, prayer is powerful. When we pray, remember, we unleash the power of God. When you pray, you're praying to the God of the universe. So when you pray for your government leaders, you're asking God to take the heart that's in his hand and direct it. When you pray for yourself, you're saying, God, my heart is in your hand, direct it. When you pray for me and the pastoral staff here and in Tracy, or if you're a guest today and you go to another church, when you pray for your pastoral staff, you're saying, God, hold their hearts and direct them. And when you pray for your enemies, you're saying, God, the enemy's heart's even in your hands, and I want you to direct them. I want you to take that wherever you may be. And God, my heart needs to be in your hand, and you take me where I need to be. Let's pray. Father God, this morning, we talk about prayer. I pray that this day, that is more than just verbiage, it's more than just talk, but that God, we will look at our life. God, I pray that you would help us to pray for our own needs, the things in our heart and our life. I thank you that you would help us to pray for our government leaders, God, that they would be turning to you for our entire government, for our entire leadership, that God, there would be a God consciousness that would be brought about in this nation, that we would see, as in 2 Chronicles, God, that if we would pray and seek your face and turn from our evil ways, that God, we would be blessed by you. God, I pray that as we pray your spirit in our own life to have freedom, that we would pray, God, I pray, I am thankful for this group of people. I know that there are many who pray for me and who pray for our staff and who pray for our church. God, may that just continue. But God, I pray that all of us would have a desire to pray for those men who persecute us, that we might even see as the enemy, God, but that we would give them to you, and that we would see a great work done. Restore relationships. Restore friendships. God, help us to speak in love, and help us to know in love when not to say anything. So God, thank you for grace today. Thank you for the people of grace. Thank you for this church. May we be people who pray. Not just talk about it, but truly pray. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Pastor Mike.